Are you feeling stuck in your social work career, wondering if you're even on the right path? You're not alone, and that's why I created the Career Clarity Challenge. In just 5 days, you'll reflect on your values, discover your strengths, create a simple action plan, and learn how to use supervision as a real tool for growth. By the end of this challenge, you'll feel clearer about what matters, more confident in your strengths, and ready to take your next step. Sign up today. It's free, it's practical, and it could be the reset you've been waiting for. Just head to the show notes to join the Career Clarity Challenge now. Hello, and welcome back to another collaboration between the Inside Social Work podcast and the Becoming an AMHSW, the podcast with me, Marie Vakarkas.
And me, Ashton Hayes.
We are three episodes into our mini series. And the question we're talking about today is, what would your 25-year-old self think about where you're at now?
What would she think, Marie?
I had no idea that this was a career path that I would have done. About 25, I think I had just finished my Masters of Social Work, done my honours, the research pathway, and I was expecting a career in non-for-profits, maybe working with larger non-for-profits. Like, I had dreams of sort of more community development, like with World Vision or the Red Cross or Oxfam or something like that. And I really thought, once people know and learn about what we're doing and they see, when we talk about the systems and the importance of our work, people just don't know this. And once they know it, they'll be on board and they'll be money flowing into these programs, anything from food security to housing. And so I was still so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed around this idea that if people just knew, they would do something different, that it's so clear that these things change lives. Mm. And I had no idea I would end up doing not one but two podcasts. I hated public speaking, loathed it. And the only way I pushed myself through was, well, first my language exams. When you do a language, you have to do a little kind of spiel, a presentation, was my mental health first aid instructor training. So you do all the learning, but then you have to actually instruct, right? Because they got to see you deliver. And I was up for hours rehearsing and practicing. And I had one section, I was doing the psychosis bit, and I was rehearsing it and getting cranky at my partner because he made a noise. I'm trying to focus here, and had flashcard in practice, and it was fine. No one died. It was good. And so now I can run the whole workshop without any notes if I needed to. So I would never have thought that I would be talking in front of people, making videos, doing podcasting, creating content on TikTok of all places. I would never have thought that any of that would have been possible or even a thing. Mm-hmm. And I would never have thought of running my own business and being my own boss and running a team. So I think she would be a little confused, maybe.
Yes.
Sometimes I think I gave up on a dream. I would still like to do some humanitarian-based work, but there's a whole lot of ethical considerations that I have around this idea of mostly white people going into a place, doing some stuff and leaving.
Right.
So I've really tried to think about, how do I support causes intentionally, sustainably, and not be a fly-in, fly-out kind of worker. Mm-hmm. So I'm still trying to figure out how that works. And so I try to do some more local impact things.
Okay.
More around environmental causes, even things like, I think I posted not long ago on LinkedIn around even just buying the big issue.
Yeah. You
know, doing small things on a community level, and then how to align with an organization and be sort of an ambassador for a particular cause, because it's so overwhelming. Mm. And you can have causes around physical health, mental health, cancer, relations. There's so much to do. So I want to revisit that a little bit. But I think she would be, Terry, if we told her this is what she would do, she'd be like, absolutely not. There is no way I'm putting my face out on there, my voice out on there. There's no way I'm running workshops. Forget it. I just want to head down, bum up, and keep learning. Okay. And maybe I'll still keep learning. I do love studying and learning, but I think she would be scared.
Right.
If I told her this is what your career is going to look like.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. How about you? How about your 25-year-old self?
Well, I'm just trying to remember back that far, but my 25-year-old self was definitely on the lawyer track. So she would be very surprised that she is a social worker specializing in mental health. I think, though, when I think back, it was family law. I was a family law paralegal back then and studying law. And I think that when I consider the broader context of the work that my family did, everyone really has been in some form of helping profession. And my grandfather was a mental health clinician in that he was a very senior psych nurse. So when I think about it now, I'm not surprised I was exposed to all of that. I didn't take it on board. When I thought about nursing, I thought about the cute outfits, which back in the olden days, that's what I would see.
Cute outfits, or is that more like fetishized?
I think it was because when I was very little, what I saw in nursing was the white dresses and the fancy hats and the pretty red capes. And
did they wear red capes?
Well, some of the seniors did in mental health. And what I saw was a helping profession that was stylish. When I realised what nursing actually was, I realised that that was probably not something that I was cut out for. But the at its core, it's a helping profession. And the work that I saw people doing was helping work, and it was helping in mental health.
Can I ask, because when I was growing up, I think this is all pre Beyond Blue's sort of multi-year long campaigns around mental health. Mm-hmm. Mental illness back then was psychiatric institutions, mm-hmm. asylums, mm-hmm. you know, remembering lobotomies being done, people essentially imprisoned yes. and detained for hysteria. Like the environment and the conversation around mental health mm-hmm. would have been incredibly different to what it is now. So even mental health nursing would have, there would have been no trauma-informed work, research.
No, but when I look back now at the work that particularly my grandfather was doing, and I've read some of the letters of commendation and some of the documents around him and his work, and certainly he didn't do that in isolation, but just for the purposes of our discussion today, what I see was early trauma-informed work. What I see was support with people with mental illness and mental health issues to engage in self-care, right? So the concept of self-care back then, and I just want to be clear, I'm talking about a time before I was alive, but it originated from the idea that we need to go from having you have your hair brushed and you're bathed and whatever in those institutional type spaces to let's learn how to actually take care of ourselves, brush our own hair, have some autonomy as part of moving through that recovery. And so what I was exposed to as a young child was the was, I guess, in some ways trauma-informed safety. That's what a lot of that work was around, safety, because the concept of being put into an institution, taken away from your community, not being able to access your normal supports, and being in a scary space where people perhaps had differing levels of need could feel extremely unsafe. And we know that feeling unsafe is absolutely the opposite of what we want to do if we're working towards recovery. So I think, yes, when my singing / acting career did not pan out, that I still had a little bit of a glimmer of hope in when I was 25, and I realised that I did want to go into a helping profession. It was the legal space that I was looking at, and so I don't think 25-year-old me would have seen myself here, but the age that I am now, which I'll just leave that out, feels very happy and lucky to be in this career.
What would have surprised you most?
My 25-year-old yeah. self? I think the social media, because I feel incredibly uncomfortable with having my face everywhere. And I think sometimes the perception is that when you see someone putting themselves out there, it can seem like, oh, wow, they're super confident and they're not worried at all. Whereas I, yes, feel strange about social media. I will say that it's interesting when I'm delivering training or whether I'm delivering, for example, speaking at a conference, I'm okay with a really big audience. It's the smaller audiences that induce my anxiety a little bit more. And I think, you know, I've certainly had to speak to all different sizes of audiences. But yes, that makes me feel anxious in a small room with a few people. That's a tricky one for me.
Maybe we can talk about that around imposter syndrome.
Yes.
So for people listening, one takeaway or one, I guess, I invite you to think about writing your 25-year-old self a letter. Mm-hmm. Any other prompts that listeners could put into that? Do you have some ideas?
I think it's okay to write out your expectations and have them listed for something that you look at a few years down the track. I really like that. What would your future self?
Yeah. So maybe there's two parts of that. If you're a younger listener, then maybe thinking about what you would like in the next 5 or 10 years. Not necessarily, I would encourage you to think more around values rather than goals, like tick box items.
I agree.
And that's maybe the acty side of me coming out. And if you're on the other side, more seasoned worker or mature age student, have a think about what you would have liked your 25-year-old self to know, or what he or she or they would have maybe be surprised about. And we're coming at it from a place of empathy and curiosity. Mm. And I think the goalpost keeps moving.
Mm.
And we don't often take a minute to look at what we might have wanted back then, what's possible now. Have we strayed off a path that maybe there's bits of that we want to get back? Like I was sharing about my desire to align with a cause, have that more longevity. And if anything it sparks for you, let us know. I'd love for you to tag us in a post. If you do a reel or a story, let us know what your 25-year-old self, you know, or your future self would like. And we want to hear from you. So let us know.
We absolutely do.
So thanks for listening to episode 3 of this mini series. And we'll be back very soon with another episode. Are you feeling stuck in your social work career, wondering if you're even on the right path? You're not alone, and that's why I created the Career Clarity Challenge. In just 5 days, you'll reflect on your values, discover your strengths, create a simple action plan, and learn how to use supervision as a real tool for growth. By the end of this challenge, you'll feel clearer about what matters, more confident in your strengths, and ready to take your next step. Sign up today. It's free, it's practical, and it could be the reset you've been waiting for. Just head to the show notes to join the Career Clarity Challenge now.